Hello everyone, my name is Fei-Lan Li. Today I want to introduce the foliar application of plant hormones and nitrogen have differential effects on sweet cherries bird leaves development. For the sweet cherry trees, they produce fruit on spurs on the wood that is 2 or more years old, as well as the base of shoots that grew the previous season. For some lure-tuning systems, such as the UFO and the KGB, they produce the fruit almost entirely on the flowering spurs on multiple vertical leaders having few shoots. And for the sweet cherries, a typical spur consists of one vegetative bud in the middle, which usually develops 6 to 8 spur leaves, and they have 0 to 10 flower buds surrounded, each of which can develop 1 to 4 fruits. The prior research have shown that the major source of the spur-based fruits are the spur leaves where the fruit is attached. Furthermore, spur leaves tend to be smaller than the leaf shoot leaves. Therefore, in the spur-bearing training systems, spur leaf size is quite critical for the fruit quantity potential. And also, for the crop load research, it shows that if you want to have the fruit more than 10 grams or larger, you need to have at least 200 square centimeters of leaf area for per fruit. And we know from that the window for spur leaf development is very narrow. Generally, it will be finished in 4 to 5 weeks after the bud break. And the previous research found that foliar application of urea in the fall, it will increase the reserve nitrogen levels, could increase the spur leaf size up to 20% in the spring. However, the cultural practice in the spring to increase spur leaf size haven't been reported. So therefore, we focused on the foliar application of nitrogen fertilizers and the plant growth regulators applied as a bud break to determine whether the spur leaf size could be altered further. For the methods, on May 9, 2017, I chose 35 fruiting spurs on some sweet cherry trees at the Research Station of Michigan State. For the nutrition applications, I have 0.5% urea, 2% calcium nitrate, 1.7% potential nitrate. Even though they seem to have different concentrates, actually they have the same concentrate of nitrogen level. For the PGR applications, I have 115 ppm BA, plus 13 ppm GA4 plus 7, and 13 ppm GA3, and 115 ppm BA. Also, I have the distilled water as control. For each treatment, it was applied to an individual spur by handheld sprayer till runoff in the very morning before the sunrise. The paper cones were used to protect other spurs from the contamination. And 6 treatment replications were applied on May the 10th, and a 7th replication was applied on May the 15th. Although the dates differed, at the spur development stage remained the same. Prior to the orchard applications, I contacted a preliminary study of spur leaf growth in the growth chamber, and I found the appropriate marine interval is 6 growing degree days for the orchard experiments. And for each sampling, I will have the leaf margin cutting and measure the length and half width of each leaf. Also, the cut leaf margin were stored in jars of FA solution, and the adhesion epidermis cell size were examined and quantified under the light microscope. And the final leaf thickness was measured by cryostat to determine the leaf cross-section. Unfortunately, I have some unexpected outcomes for the 2% calcium nitrate, we can see from these photos, it caused the young leaf marginal burning and carving. So this treatment's data were discarded. And for the 115 ppm BA plus 13 ppm GFO plus 7, around 16% of them stimulate spurs to elongate two shoots. For the results, I have the fellow leaf area comparison. We can see from this table, the Wilcoxon test means that the plant hormone groups show the significant difference with the control group. But the nitrogen fertilizers group, they didn't show significant difference with the control. And this is the leaf growth curve comparison. First, I want to introduce how I organized the leaves for each spur. I ordered the leaves from the largest to the smallest and marked them with different color. For example, the largest leaf will be marked as red, and the second largest leaf marked as orange, and the third one marked as yellow. Then we can tell how the leaf ranking from this color. According to this method, I have all the leaf growth curves, and I combined within each treatment. Since each treatment has 5 replications, so for each graph, I will have at least 25 growing curves to simplify the graphs. All the red lines in each graph will be combined and calculate the average value and get this mean growth curve, as well as the orange line, yellow line, green line, and green line. Since for some spurs only have 5 spur leaves, so for each graph, I will have 5 mean growing curves. And obviously, we can tell for the plant hormone growth treatments, they have larger leaves than the control. And to have further analysis between each treatment, I picked the largest mean growth curve, aka the 6 root size from each treatment, then put them into one graph. And for this graph, all the red lines means the growth regulator treatment, and the green line means the nutrition treatment, and the black one means the control group. From this graph, we can tell the BA and the GFO plus 7 group, it has 15% larger leaf than the control, and both the GS3 and the BA, they have 20% larger leaf than the control. And it has a similar situation for the second largest leaf mean growth graph. Also, I have the third, fourth, and fifth largest leaf mean growth. And from this graph, we can say all the plant hormone groups, they have larger leaves than the control. And we can have the conclusion, the plant hormone applications, they do increase the leaf size. Also, I have the fellow epidermis cell size comparison. From the t-test, we can say all the plant hormone groups, they have larger epidermis size than the control. Also, from this table, we can see the BA and the GFO plus 7 group, they have the largest epidermis cell size among the 6 groups. The conclusion is that the plant hormones increase leaf size due to promotion of larger cell size. Furthermore, I have the fellow leaf cyclic comparison, and we can from the t-test, there is no treatment significantly affecting the leaf cyclic. For this year's methods, I have several sets of experiments initialed to determine. First, the window time for the plant hormone applications. Second, the range of effective duets of BA, GS3, and GFO plus 7. The third one is whether the GS3 and the GFO plus 7 have different effects. Unfortunately, this year's data is still under-analyzed. But we still have the conclusion of based on the preliminary experiment, the plant hormones do have the positive effect on the leaf area, especially the BA and the GFO plus 7 treatment, it shows 13% larger leaf than the control. And that's all. Thank you. Any questions? Because we get the sample, those have been custom engine, so I can't get the whole dry weight of them.